Tonight to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I believe I'll jump off in about 8 verses right here in 2 Peter. And I want to speak to you a little bit tonight on adding character. And we'll talk about it here a little bit. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice he makes God and Jesus Christ equal because they're both God in this verse. Then he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen preached this morning a lot about what we have in Christ and how it ought to be our reasonable service to serve him after all the mercy and all that he's done for us. Peter here is talking about that assurance. Peter comes along here realizing that he said, you've got like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. Peter was not in any way thinking he'd earned his salvation or deserved it. And then he kind of does a little addition column all the way through these next verses. And key to that is where he uses the word add, A-D-D. Plus this, plus this, plus this. But it's all built on the foundation of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, Peter's telling us because of what we have in him, we can add all these things. And we can be partakers of the divine nature. Now, he's not only talking about the soul being saved. He's talking about the Christian life that can be built on that foundation and on that structure as it was. And if I was going to take one word to summarize all this that Peter said we could add, I think we could place most of it in our understanding of the word character. And it all adds up. And we speak of character, not some characters you've known, but good character. And sort of put it in that package. You know, everybody is interested in the other fellow having good character. We'd much rather deal with somebody with good character, but here's a mirror for us to look at too and see what kind of character we have. I think about the snobbish society lady whose son had started dating a girl. And she was worried a little bit about whether that girl was really blue blood enough, really elite enough for her son to be dating that girl. So she hired a private investigator to check out that girl. And the report came back, and the snobbish lady was a little bit very interested. She said, what about the character of this girl? What'd you find out? And the investigator said, we found out through her history, she's really had a good character and nothing wrong, except here lately, she's been seen with a fellow of dubious character. Get the point? We like it on somebody else, but how about us? Amen? And when I think of, there are many stories in Scripture, but one of the Scriptures, one of the portions I think about that demonstrates character over and beyond is when you get in the book of Daniel. Now, it's a prophetical book, and I understand all that, and I've preached that theme of it many times, but you have the case of Daniel going to the lion's den because he wouldn't refuse to pray. And then you have the three Hebrew boys going in the fire furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the king's image. they had some character, didn't they? I mean, on the positive side. You think about that story over there in Daniel about chapter 3. You find out that Nebuchadnezzar was really sold on himself. He made an image 60 foot tall and 6 cubits wide. And he had 6 instruments of music that was going to play for everybody to bow down. You understand Nebuchadnezzar was giving you a picture of the Antichrist, even his number 666. And it was bow down or else. And yet these 3 Hebrew boys gave an answer that's classic. I mean, they basically said, King, we don't know if our God will deliver us or not, but what we do know is we're not going to bow down to your image. That's powerful, isn't it? You see, that was a contest of gods. There's a contest of gods going on today. I am really sick when I read in the newspaper where our city commissioners and county commissioners and others want to invite in the Muslims to open up in prayer. If we want to ask God's judgment on America, let's just start serving other gods. Let's start pretending that they're equal with the Lord God Jehovah. We're going to be in major trouble. I would not, in a commission meeting, stand up and bow my head for a Muslim to pray to Allah, the moon god. I hope some commissioners are listening to me tonight. You fellas are on thin ice with me when you got no better sense than that. And this is not a pluralistic nation. This is one God. You ever read the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We need some character back in America, don't we? We need some character up in Washington, D.C. The wrong guy got fired, by the way, this last week. Help yourself. If I was up there firing, I'd start at the top and come on down. Amen. Amen. What we need, though, is some character. And I want to talk to you about adding these things up and talk to you a little bit about the character. See, America's in a mess tonight. Talk about character. You know what they're doing in Washington is they're not only spending their kids' money, they're spending their grandkids' grandkids' money. Way down, I mean, they're breaking into every kid's piggy bank, if you please, for the future. There's no character in that, brother. Wrong kind of character, for sure. America's into this thing of everything at ease, got to have it at ease, everything's a shortcut. Amazes me. I mean, you wouldn't have a 7-Eleven store in every corner except we all want a shortcut. I never would have dreamed, and you've heard me say this before, that I'd ever paid a dollar for a bottle of water. Do you understand you're paying more for water than you are gasoline when you buy it that way? Add it up. Get you a gallon of water and see if it don't cost you more than a gallon of gas. Start drinking gas, it'd be cheaper, amen? Now, I'm playing with you a little bit, but we're into the shortcut business. Everywhere you look, we've talked on that. I mean, I've even got so liberal that sometimes I run my car through the automatic wash. And then I go down the road thinking, you sorry rascal. When you were young, you'd have washed that car and been glad you had a car. Amen, help yourself. But shortcuts, lack of character in so much of what we do today. And wherever you look, you see it show up. And our kids, we fuss about them, and rightly so, but I hate to say it, they're following the example that's been given. I think about the little 5-year-old at the table. His dad and mom had been trying to teach him some table manners, and he was getting his hands into it, and his dad stopped him, and he said, Son, don't eat like a pig. And the little boy looked with a question on his face, and his dad said, do you know what a pig is? He said, yes, it's a hog's little boy. Amen. Yeah, the example's what they're following, amen. We need to demonstrate character. You can't just say have it. They're gonna have some heroes, mom and dad. And some of the heroes today, it amazes me. And in fact, I couldn't walk in a lot of bedrooms of your teens, and some of you hadn't been in there. That's why they got the walls plastered with all that so-called hero business, bunch of junk. That's the devil's heroes, and the devil's music, and the devil's dress, not God's. we need to demonstrate some character. You know, the word meaning of character is an interesting thing to begin with. It's talking about something that's been cut or impressed deeply. Have you ever painted a sign and saw later on the paint wash off? Or you written something and it blurred, but when you carve it in, it's there, brother. It's deep, it's impressed, it's cut in. And that's what the word character is talking about. Go back to the old English language and you'll find out they were talking about carving in, dig it in. And the truth is, that's what character is supposed to be. It's supposed to be permanent, not temporary. Something that is going to last and make a deep impression. In other words, it's the real us. We've all heard the cliche that reputation is what men think of us outwardly, but character is what God knows of us inwardly. And if we're going to have character, we can't just be a hypocrite and impress men. God knows what we are on the inside. It's the real us. Brother Pitts can tell you, he and I have noticed more than one time out at the youth camp when we cleaned up camp. I remember one, and this is the way it works. I've seen the time that we cleaned camp up. We had everything in place. Everything was ready on Friday afternoon. It was ready. And then I drive out there on Saturday to take one last quick inspection and find some big tree down across the road. I'm always praying against the storms on Friday night and Saturday and Sunday before camp starts on Monday. And he can tell you there's been a time or two that we found a big green tree, a nice tree with leaves on it, and everything was fine. We had never considered cutting that tree down, but find it across the road. And maybe not even much of a cloud come up, much of a wind. But when we looked at it closer, we found out why it was down. It was rotten on the inside. It was hollow on the inside. It was no good on the inside. And sometimes we have somebody, they look like a big green tree. They're going great. They're doing fine. You know, they got everybody fooled. And then the next thing you know, we find out it was a rotten heart right there all the time. And it finally burst to the outside. Bible says, "A man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And so that's what happens. And we see character, though, in a lot of little things. Brother Mike Case preached at camp this week, and he pointed out that you might go to Walmart and start to park your car, and there's a shopping cart. Somebody didn't have enough character to move it. Not to even be thankful the store furnished them one and get it out of the way. At least they got a spot there where you're supposed to put them. I'll tell you what's less character than that. That's to steal the cart and take it down the street, side the road down here somewhere, and you see it all the time. And that's a lack of character. It's too bad. But we see too much of that in America. And character is worth something. I tell you what, character, good character won't do. It won't blame others for our own mistakes. We're pretty good at that. Pretty good at making excuse, making a scapegoat, finding somebody else. I don't watch much of the sports. I catch the NASCAR races when I can, but a little bit of baseball. If Steven's over there, he flips it on, and I can't tell you much about them. But I did catch the thing where the pitcher almost had a perfect game, and the umpire made a bad call on first base. Anybody see that? Read about that. Now, you know what? I'll say the pitcher and the umpire, though, did demonstrate some character in that. Now, I disagree. I'd have turned the thing over. I mean, the camera didn't lie. They found it. But the head boys didn't turn it over. And the way the pitcher took that demonstrated some character, because it cost him a game that he'd earned there. I mean, something for the record books. But he did demonstrate some character. He could have blamed the umpire, which would have been rightfully so. He could have blamed this and that, and he could have raised a big fuss about it, but he didn't. And so character is important, and we see it in little things. And what it is, it's living up your conviction over your preference. Now, Stephen talked about this morning, we got the lust of the body, the desires of the body. And I tell you what real character does, it disciplines those. It puts them in the back seat, not the driver's seat. And a conviction over preference. Now, the story I mentioned in Daniel chapter 3, those three boys went in the fire furnace over conviction, not preference. They didn't prefer to go in there, I'll guarantee you. But there was a contest between Nebuchadnezzar's God and the God of the Hebrews. And Nebuchadnezzar said, whose God's going to deliver you out of my hand? And that was the challenge. And the boys stood by on conviction. They didn't know that God was going to help them out. They didn't know whether he would deliver them or not. They knew he had the power to do it. But instead, they went anyway because they had a conviction it was right. And when you go with a conviction that's right, sometimes it costs you. It costs the martyrs of the old days to be burned at the stake. And it still has a price on it today. I'll tell you this, convictions will always be challenged. The devil will not let you get by. Now listen, I want to get this down where we understand. Some of you families, some of you got families you've never been able to witness to very much. And you think, well, the time will never come that it'll be a catch 22 where I either have to let them know I won't go here with them, I won't have alcohol in my house, I won't do this, or I'll go to church whether they come on Sunday or not. But sooner or later the devil will put you in that spot where you'll have to face it. You can't dodge it but so long. He's going to put his finger on what you claim as a conviction and see if it is a conviction or if it's a preference. And there's a big difference between the two. Convictions have always been challenged. I think about the bus driver and the preacher rode the bus, one of the big cities, and he got on the bus and rode it like he had done some before, and paid the bus driver and got his change, and he stepped off the bus and realized the bus driver gave me too much change. And quickly he knocked back on the door, and the bus driver opened it up and he said, sir, said, you gave me too much change. The bus driver said, yes, I did. I did on purpose. He said, what? He said, you see, I was in your church yesterday and you preached on honesty. And I wanted to see if you really were. Yeah, your convictions will be tested. The devil will make sure that you don't just have them in secret. They're going to have to come open sometime or another. That's the way it works. You know, church-wise, character is demonstrated in a church and by a church. Here we are at Landmark in the middle of the summer. You know what it's doing? It's testing our character. Sure is. That bus board back there, as I look at the buses back there, thank God I've seen them hold up. I mean, school is out, people are gone, the kids are out there. What we need is workers. And thank God for the men and women that have stepped up and shown some character to step in. And some of them that have bus routes have had their workers leave, college students and others. And yet, bless God, here they are. They're doing the job. They're getting the job done. That takes some character. Takes some character when you had five helping you on the bus route, and now it's you. Just you, maybe one more, maybe not even that. Takes some character. I look back behind me here at the choir. Now, there's some characters in the choir. Yeah, I'm joking with them. It's taking some character to keep producing the music because there's a lot of ghosts back there, and I can't hear their voices. But the ones that's there are trying to do their best and even better and doing even more. They're dipping down. It takes some character to stick with it when you're the only one carrying the whole load sometimes, because it'd be just as easy for you to drop out. But the truth is, character keeps us going. It comes to summertime and the bills need to be paid here at the church. I hate to do it. I hate to come back again and again and say we got to have some special giving. We got to have some extra offering. This has got to be done. And yet I've seen our people dig down because of Christian character and give and give and give. And we've survived the summers before, and bless God, I believe we'll do it again, but it'll take our character to prove it. Here at Landmark through the years, I've had all kind of prophecies made against us. I've heard that we were going to fold up. I've heard that this, that, or the other. But bless God, through 40 years, we're showing some character to stick, to stay, to not change, to go by the same standards we've always gone by, preach from the same book we've always preached from, sing the same music we've always had, and hold the same belief that we've always had. And hey, that's the kind of character I want to face the Lord Jesus Christ with. We're seeing churches today dip colors because I know some preachers. I heard from one this week. He said, they're getting a rock band together, and he named it right. Said, getting a rock band, and another man over there said, man, how can you stand that? He said, I don't like it, but we got to reach some young people. Our church is dying. Well, I got news for you. You're about to finish it. When you bring the devil's music in, that's a compromise. That's not the character God wants to see. It's happening, though, all over the place. By the way, you're not winning them to Christ when you bring the devil's music in. You're winning them to what you bring them in with. Amen? That's not going to work. But real character stays the same. Stays the same. No matter the situation. I don't believe in situation ethics. Young people in public schools have been taught for years in many different ways the situation ethics. No, brother, the situation is what does God say about it? What is right? We got too much lizard religion. You know what I mean by that? I didn't know they were called Geicos or whatever that insurance commercial is. Geicos, Geico, whatever it is. Do you ever notice that little old lizard's always green? He's not a real lizard. Lizards change color. Amen. When Harvey and I were little kids, we'd catch those things, put them in a wash tub of water, and play like they were alligators. And then pretty soon we'd have an alligator hunt. Shoot them with our Red Ryder BB guns. Don't tell Peter. But you ever notice what a lizard would do? He'd get on a brown board, he'd turn brown. He gets on something green, he turns green. He adopts or adapts himself to the color of whatever it is. And we just got Christians and churches that just adapt to whatever the world's going to do next. However they dress, however they sound, the whole nine yards. But God's not into lizard religion. Brother, he wants us to have some standards. He wants us to have some character for what is right. And it stays the same. Real character stays the same. I think about the slave boy that was on the block in the early years somewhere, and the bidding was taking place, and a mean man, a man in the community that everybody knew was cruel, was about to buy that boy. And a farmer's wife slipped upside of her husband. And she said, don't let that mean man have that kid. Said, you go buy that boy. You bid on him. Don't let that bad guy get that kid. And the farmer looked at him and slipped upside the boy and whispered to him. And he said, son, if I buy you, will you be honest? And the boy answered him back and said, sir, I'll be honest whether you buy me or not. That's some character. Some character. No matter the situation. I want to be honest with God. I want to hold the character that's pleasing to Him. You know something? Real character shows up. I mentioned in church. Real character shows up in marriages. Did you know that? Hey, it's one thing for a young couple to come down here and say, I do. Why, that boy's looking at her. She's the most beautiful thing in the world. He'd be a fool not to say, I do. And somehow or another, he's fooled her into thinking he's worth having. So she'll say, I do. But run the calendar forward. Character shows up as the calendar progresses. As the kids come. As a result of the kids, the sand shifts. Help yourself. You figure that out later. Where's the character shows up? You ever notice the marriage vows? In sickness and in health. I love you just as much sick is when you're well, just as much old as when you were young. That's character. That's character. You know, we husbands, we know how to get around, and we say, she's still the most beautiful woman in the world. Are you liar? You might have used to thought that, but you got eyes. You know better. But character, that's where it shows up. Hey, be honest with you. Let's face reality. Truth is, I've seen a lot of fellows leave their wife when they got sick. Or when something else happened. I've seen the other side of it too. The woman leave the man. And it's about equal or more so nowadays. But real character makes the love grow. Real character keeps you together. Real character can handle the sickness. Real character can handle the bankruptcy. Real character will be there. And it's not something that, if you practice it long enough, it becomes you. You may have to start off working on the flesh and fighting the flesh. We all do, and discipline the flesh. But there will become a time it'll hurt you worse. Hurt you worse to be a bad character than good. Really. You'll be more miserable when you violate the rules that you've established in your Christian life. The Holy Spirit will grieve you deeper. And to the place that you won't do it because it's become you. Part of it. I say to you, real character stays the same. I'm glad that's the truth. I mean, if it wasn't, this church wouldn't be here. Through the years, I've seen our folks dig deeper. I've seen our folks pray harder. I've seen us work harder. There's been many times somebody wanted to write our epitaph on a tombstone over Landmark, but it hadn't happened yet, and we're still believing we're going to make it till the trumpet sounds, amen? But we're only going to do it as our character meets and passes the test, and the devil is going to make sure you are tested. He challenged these boys. I mean, just three boys there in Daniel in this great big crowd. The whole crowd was bowing down when they heard the music. But just three of them wouldn't. But there was Satan's agents out there to spot and report them. And they did. So they were tested. Now, thank God, they passed the test. Amen. I don't know, but the judgment seat's going to be an interesting place, isn't it? Where we're going to be judged for the works that we've done after we were saved. I'll be honest with you, I face it with fear and dread to a great degree. I fear I'll lose rewards for opportunities I should have taken for God and didn't. But I tell you one thing, if I know my heart, I want to finish the course like I started it. I want to pass the test. I remember in the early years, and be careful how I say this, just a few of you know who I'm talking about. But there was a lady that, good-hearted lady, but she was unusual. Oh, she was unusual. I don't know how to say this without saying too much. Not highly educated at all, not much education. But we picked her up on a bus with the kids, brought her to Sunday school for a long time. And she was not the quietest church member we had. She was prone to say amen whether women were supposed to or not. And sometime a little more than that if she felt good about something I said. And sometimes, I'm choosing my words carefully, sometimes got to be a little trying. But as time went on and she moved away and whatever, and quite a few years passed. We'd enlarge the building, I think, some, and quite a few years had passed. And one Sunday morning, she showed up. And one or two of the ushers that remembered her were getting nervous. But she showed up, and she come in and sit down and listen to Sunday school and listen to me preach. And she got up just before I got through. And she walked up the aisle that way, and she come right across right back there. And when she got about where the Sunday school board is, Brother Pritchard and some of them was getting nervous what she was fixing to do. And she hollered from back there. And she said this. She said, "I don't see no difference. He's the same as he's always been." And she walked on out the door. Now, I'll tell you the truth. It didn't bother me too much because of what she said. I took it as a compliment. Somebody had told her, "Go down there to Landmark now. It's not the same. It's different." Her judgment was she'd been here nearly years, and it was still the same. And that's what I want to be, is still the same till Jesus comes. I want the same character that we've always demonstrated to be the same. And I believe that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Real character honors God. God says he'll honor them that honor him, don't he? Real character honors God because, let me just say this. I know the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. But Peter is telling us on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we can partake of the divine nature. But I want to say to you, there are choices. As Stephen preached this morning, you do make choices how you're going to live after you're saved through the righteousness of Christ and the grace of God. Then from that point on, you start building and you start adding. And you build up the character. Wait a minute. If you're thinking this is wrong. A fellow with no character gets saved. He don't automatically get character. You say, that fellow walked down the church aisle this morning. He said he got born again. Then he'd come to me to borrow $1,000. Should I loan it to him, preacher? No. No. We'll see if he's going to add to his salvation, not for salvation, but because he is saved. Is he going to partake of the divine nature of God? Is he going to build? Is he going to add virtue? Is he going to, you don't automatically get good character just because you got saved. You still face a life of choices to obey God, walk with God, get in God's word and receive from God and build a life of character. Or you can still. It shocked some of you. There's probably some folks laying around drunk tonight that actually got born again one time. That's the old flesh. That's where the flesh will take you. I don't like to think that. And they don't have to. They've got a power within them now. If they'll obey that power and allow the Holy Spirit of God and Christ to lead them, they still got to choose. You know, love, real love, true love is where somebody has had the freedom to make a choice. You know, discrimination's a bad word in our day. You know, you can't discriminate about this and that. You can't even discriminate against what the Bible calls an abomination, homosexuality, sin. You know, you're not politically correct if you do, but every time a man and woman gets married, they're both discriminatory. You understand that? Because he chose her, he discriminated against all the women he didn't choose. By the way, some of them keep trying to choose, but anyway, that's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? We all discriminate every day. We make choices. You pull up to the gas pump, you buy a regular high test. I don't hardly imagine anybody buying a high test, but anymore. But you discriminate when you had bacon and eggs and didn't have cereal this morning. You chose one over the other. We're always discriminating. We're always choosing, no doubt about it. So when you get saved, you are to discriminate about what's right and what's wrong and how you're going to add to your life and build on that foundation of salvation, righteousness in Jesus Christ. But I choose if I'm going to partake of the divine nature, go God's way, or keep going the way of the flesh. Stephen was on it this morning. I won't park on it long. But character doesn't come automatically, good character. You build, you add, you do it by obeying God's word. You do it by, you've got something different in you when you get born again. You got a spirit and a power in there that'll help you make the right choice. You didn't have that before. All you had was the flesh dragging you one way. But now you got the opportunity to obey a divine nature that's connected to God's nature. And you can partake of that if you want to. God showed up in the fire with those three Hebrew boys, didn't he? Now, suppose he hadn't. See, today everybody says, I'm not going to have a conviction that'll take me into the fire furnace because God may not show up. Those boys didn't know if he would or not. But they went in anyhow, and God recorded it for you and I to have the example. I've seen the time I felt like I went in the fire furnace and God didn't show up. But the very fact that I thought he didn't, maybe he did. I may have passed the test and don't know it yet until I get before him. But the truth is that he showed up in the fire, and he'll show up one day, be it on earth or in the second life. He'll show up one day on the right side. You choose the right side. You'll find God there. That's where you'll find him. I'm talking about having the right kind of character. I think about Old John Bunyan, you remember him. He's the one who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Great book that it was. Spiritual book. Is if any man ever wrote one outside the Bible, it was Pilgrim's Progress. You know, John Bunyan paid a big price for that, though. He paid a big price. John Bunyan had character. John Bunyan would not take, and he's in our Baptist heritage back there. You ought to go. In fact, I'm deviating now. But you go over to the building that was John Bunyan's where he preached in England, and it'll break your heart. In front of the building is a coffee shop. You go in there, you buy a sandwich, you buy a coffee like in the lobby out there. And then you walk in and see the building. It's become a liberal place. And you think what a price John Bunyan paid back in his day. And John Bunyan would not take a license from the state to preach. They wanted to license him. See, they were tied in with the Church of England, the state was, and they didn't like John Bunyan preaching on the street corner or preaching in a building. He didn't fit into the mold, and so they charged him without a license. They're trying that, still trying that stuff in some places in America today. But John Bunyan had a conviction. He had character enough to back his conviction, and he wouldn't take a license. And they put him into Bedford Jail. Off and on, pretty much on, John Bunyan was in that jail for 12 years. John Bunyan had a blind daughter, wife, and a blind daughter, no means of supporting them. Here's this Baptist preacher in the Bedford jail, and they would come and take a piece of paper, the authorities would, and they'd slip it on the jail door, a license, and they'd ask him to sign it. And he wouldn't sign it. Character enough to say, no, it's wrong. You can't license God's man to preach. And he wouldn't let it happen. While John Bunyan was in that jail, they would, part of the food that would come to him and would be what we'd call a milk bottle. And it'd have a paper stopper on the top of the milk bottle. And John Bunyan would take that paper stopper off of that bottle, and he wrote Pilgrim's Progress the first time in little notes on the stoppers, on the paper stoppers that covered the milk bottle. He wrote it basically while he was in jail. They'd come and often they'd bring the license back, and they'd stick it on the door, and they'd say, John, how about it? Your blind daughter's out here. They're in need. We won't let you out, John. We don't want to keep you in here, but you're going to sign this. And he said, you see this green mold growing on these walls in this cell? He said, when it grows down and grows over my eyes, I still won't sign. And he didn't. And ultimately, there's a lot more freedom in the world from England on through and inherited in America because John Bunyan took that stand. And God blessed him, and somehow his family was able to make it with him in jail for 12 years. And there's a lot of preachers that signed that license and compromised and didn't have character enough to stand. We don't even know their names. No preacher's preaching about them tonight. But we know about John Bunyan, don't we? Yeah, God goes in the fire with you. Don't mean it don't let you burn sometime, let you hurt some. But character on God's side. In the long run, it'll pay off. It'll pay off. And I say to you, where the devil is trying to get a crack in your armor tonight, be it in your relationship on a job or marriage or unfaithful to church, whatever it is, he's trying to get you out of character. Stay in the character that you know is right. Practice it, build on it, add to it, add to your salvation. I challenge you tonight, if you hear and you say, well, preacher, I just about quit. You're listening on the radio. I'm just, it's not working out. I'm quitting. Maybe your character's being tested. Give God a chance, and he'll see you through it, just like he did those three boys in the fire.